Hello, my friends, and welcome back for this week's episode of the Practical Parsha Podcast. This is Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, and I hope you are well. For this week, we're going to break the rules. Because what are rules made for if not to break them? Right? Just kidding. But seriously, I want to do something a little different this week in honor of Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, which is going to be this Sunday. And in order to help us prepare for Lag BaOmer, I want to maybe talk about the significance of Lag BaOmer, ask a few questions, answer the questions, make it practical for us, and then maybe we'll share a thought on the Parsha as well so I don't get fired from the management at the Practical Parsha Podcast. So I wouldn't want that to happen. So before we begin, as always, if you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out just to say hello, really, don't be shy. Send me an email, Rabbi Shlomo Kohn, KOHN at gmail.com. I'd love to hear from you. So, as I mentioned before, this coming Sunday is the 33rd day of the Omer. And it's referred to as Lag BaOmer. Now, Lag BaOmer is not a word, but rather it stands for Lamed Gimel BaOmer. That the numerical value of Lamed is 30 and the numerical value of Gimel is 3. So Lag BaOmer means the 33rd day of the Omer. And Lag BaOmer is a joyous day. And the reason why it's joyous, we're going to get into soon. But before I do that, I want to give a little background. Now, currently, we're between Pesach and Shavuos. But we're between the holiday of Passover and the holiday of Shavuos. And on the second day of Pesach, the second night actually, we started counting Sfiras Omer. We started counting the Omer. Now, the word Omer literally means it's referring to the Karban HaOmer, the Omer offering that was brought in the Beis HaMikdash on the second night of Passover, which would begin the count to Shavuos. And it started on Pesach, and it ends with the Shtei Alechem, which is another bread offering which was given on Shavuos. And on this time, we count every single day another day to count towards Kabbalah Satorah, to count towards receiving the Torah. Now, we know that during this time, it's customary to work on our character traits, work on our midos, to refine ourselves, to be able to receive the Torah, right? You can't just study Torah. You have to be able to study the Torah. You have to be able to apply it to ourselves. So we're working on ourselves during this time on our Bein Adam Lechavero, between our how we deal with other people, to make sure that our character traits are developing, are getting ready for the receiving of the Torah. Now, Lag BaOmer is a joyous day. Why is that? So before we get to that, I have to just give a little background. Now, during the times of Rabbi Akiva, who was a sage during the times of the Mishnah, and he was probably one of the greatest sages in the Mishnah during those times. And the Talmud tells us that during this time, between Pesach and Shavuos, the students of Rabbi Akiva died in a plague. And the Talmud tells us the reason why that they passed away, that although they were great Torah scholars, they were tremendous, each one in their own right, but according to their level, they did not treat each other properly. Shelo nagu kavod zeh lazeh. They did not give each other the proper respect. And thus it has become that during this time, the first 33 days, according to some opinions, is that we mourn the deaths of those students and the Torah that was lost. And on Lag BaOmer, the 33rd day of the Omer, the students stopped dying, the plague ended, and it became a day of celebration. And actually, in fact, in Halacha, we don't say the Tachnun prayer, which is a sort of a, you know, whenever we don't say Tachnun, it's like a happy day. We don't say it on Lag BaOmer. And it's become a day where people, we have celebrations and people, we have bonfires and there's dancing. Now, another aspect of this celebration of why Lag BaOmer has become such a special day is also because it's the yard site, it's the anniversary of the death of the great Tana, the great sage, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was actually a student of Rabbi Akiva, and we're going to get to that connection a little bit later, but he passed away on Lag BaOmer. He was the author of the Zohar, and it's commemorated, the day of his death is commemorated as a day of celebration. And in fact, every year, this year I don't think it'll be happening because of the war going on in Israel, every year over 500,000 people travel to Meron in northern Israel to celebrate the yard site with festivities of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai. And it's actually an amazing experience. I myself have been able to go to Meron on Lag BaOmer twice. It was a amazing, uplifting experience. Now, the first question I want to ask today to help get us some clarity and some practicality from Lag BaOmer is, why is it such a happy day? Meaning, just because the students of Rabbi Akiva stopped dying, right? He had 24,000 students, and they stopped dying on Lag BaOmer. Okay, I understand there's maybe a sense of relief that the death stopped, the plague had ended. But what's this celebration? What's this happiness that we're expressing here on this day? So when I said over this idea to a class earlier this week, they were trying to say, you know, I guess it is a celebration. You know, after World War II, when the war ended, it was a tremendous, everyone was extremely excited and happy, and people were dancing in the streets. So I said, okay, I could hear it, but I still felt that it didn't answer the question fully. Because you still have the question about Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the day that he passed away. When people pass away, it's not a happy occasion. Why are we celebrating that, right? So the question is twofold. Number one is, what's the celebration because the students stopped dying? I would say it's just a relief. And number two is, what's this whole hullabaloo, I should say, that Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away? Usually we're not happy when people pass away. So what's going on over here? So the first question, I want to give an answer, which has a tremendous, powerful idea. We know Rabbi Akiva, as I mentioned, he lived after the destruction of the temple, and he only started learning Torah when he was 40 years old. And that is a story in its own, you know, on its own, that maybe we can get into a different time, the story of Rabbi Akiva, beautiful story, how at first, before he turned 40, he was somebody who hated the Torah scholars. And then his wife was able to help him turn his life around to become the greatest sage of his generation. And you could imagine that 24,000 students, that's like three times the size of the world's biggest yeshiva today. And they all passed away. So you could imagine for a moment, obviously it was a tremendous loss to Rabbi Akiva. And he was older at that time. This was towards the end of his life. He only started at 40. You know, you don't get 24,000 students overnight. Doesn't happen like that. And we could just imagine what Rabbi Akiva was thinking. After he himself being the most successful Torah scholar, he raises up 24,000 students. They all pass away. Maybe it's time to hang up the jersey, right? They'll put him into the Rabbi Hall of Fame. And he could retire, Rabbi Akiva. But what did he do? He started again. And he didn't just start again. He started again with 5 students. That's it. Can you imagine beforehand, he was giving a lecture to 24,000 students. And now, he had 5. He had 5, but he still taught the same as before. He continued his mission. He didn't let what happened stop him from going forward in the future. And I believe the very powerful first message that we have here, which is really represented by Lag BaOmer, is this idea of never giving up. And realizing that we have a mission to fulfill on this earth. And as long as we're alive on this planet, we haven't finished that job yet. And one of the most powerful points of this idea is that we never know which action it will be that will be everlasting. I mean, all of our actions we do in mitzvahs are everlasting, but we don't know which one of those actions are going to be the most powerful one. Because the five students that Rabbi Akiva had after his other students passed away, from them, that is the basis of the Torah that we have today. Meaning, we have the written Torah, which is the Torah as we know it, the Torah scroll. But to go along with the Torah is the oral Torah, the Torah Shebaal Peh, which in today takes the format of the Mishnah and the Talmud and everything that comes out from that. The oral tradition, which is also divine, right? We have the written Torah and the oral Torah. It goes together. And the oral tradition has a chain. There's a Mesorah. There's a tradition from teacher to student, from generation to generation. And that's something we can trace back all the way to Moshe Rabbeinu at Har Sinai, at Mount Sinai. And it's from those five students that the chain of transmission continues to this day. So if Rabbi Akiva would have just hung up the jersey, right, in sports talk, we would not have the oral tradition as we know it. It would have been lost. The Torah that we know it, it would have been lost. But the fact that he realized that his job was not done and he kept going, kept moving forward, that enabled us to have the tradition, the Mesorah, to have it continue to be strong till this very day. And I think the powerful message for us is, and this is what Lag BaOmer really represents, is this idea of continuity, of not giving up, going forward. That no matter what happened in the past, realize we still have a mission to go forward. We're still here. We still have to do. And you never know which action it's going to be to really have that tremendous impact on future generations. And that's what Lag BaOmer represents. It's not necessarily, obviously, we were relieved that the students stopped dying. We were happy that the epidemic had ceased. But the focus is on the fact that Rabbi Akiva started again and went forward. He didn't give up. He moved forward and started to bring up new students. And from that, our Torah that we have today continues. And to move on to our second question about Lag BaOmer, regarding the Yahrzeit site, the anniversary of the death of Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, right? Why is it such a happy occasion? Because the great Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai passed away. Why are we so happy about it? And we need to look at this for a moment to understand it. We have to understand, why is it that we are afraid of death? Why are we, you know, apprehensive about it? Obviously, there's a certain unknown. We don't know what's going to be. Maybe we think, you know, we've done things wrong. We feel bad about. But there's an aspect about it that we feel that we haven't done what we could have done. There's more that we could have accomplished. And, you know, in the next world, we're not able to do, or it's the time when we enjoy our reward. This is the world of action, of doing. And in the next world, it's the world of receiving our reward. Now, Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, he told his students that the day of his death should be, quote, the day of my joy, end quote. Meaning, when he left this world, he knew that he had fulfilled his mission. He knew that he had checked off all the boxes, right? So going to the next world, death was not something that scared him. You know, think for a moment. If we knew what our mission in life is, right? And then, you know, we did everything we're supposed to do in our life. We have this checklist. We got it when we were born. Do all these 1,000 things, 2,000 things. And throughout your life, you check, 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 check. You go through all the 2,000 boxes. You check them all off. And now after 120, person's ready to go to the next world. they would have a certain sense of confidence, a certain sense of happiness because they had completed their mission. They know they have completed their mission. And now they're ready for the next stage. It's happy, right? Obviously, we still miss people that go to the next stage. That's something else. But the point is that for ourselves, you know, if we knew that we had fulfilled our mission, we wouldn't be so apprehensive. So Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai, the reason why his yahrzeit, his death on Lag BaOmer, is something which is a happy occasion, and that's why he referred to it as the day of my joy, is because Rabbi Shimon Bar Yochai was on the level that he knew that he had completed his mission. He knew that he did what he was supposed to do. So therefore, he was happy. And that's another message of Lag BaOmer, which really ties into the first idea. To realize that we have a God-given mission that we have to do. And I think the way it ties into the first thought is because when we realize that we're here for a reason and we should never give up, it ties in very much to the fact that we have this divine mission and we have to fulfill it. We have to put it into action to be who we really could become. And that's what we're trying to celebrate in Lag BaOmer, the idea of never giving up, going forward, and God willing, fulfilling our potential. And they say that the way that we know, how do we know how to fulfill our potential? How do we know where our mission in life is? I've heard it once, that sometimes the things which are difficult for you and the things that are easy for you, that's the things that are hard for you. We need to work on those things to rectify it, to become better in it. And the things that are easy for us to use those strengths to develop it more and more. And I actually even heard today a little bit that if we look around us to the people that need us, that's also tied into the mission in life that we have. Because God put those people around us so we could help them. So first you look at your immediate family, then maybe you could look a little bit more and a little bit more. But to look at the situations that we're put in and to keep our eyes open, to do the best we can to keep our eyes open, to embrace the situations that come our way. And that's a little bit, maybe gives a little bit of an outlook. It doesn't make it perfect, doesn't give us that checklist that we're talking about, but it helps us get a little bit clarity onto which way we're supposed to be going, and how we get to the place in life where we've fulfilled our mission to live our life to the fullest. Now, before we finish for today, I did want to share one thought on this week's Parsha. So as I mentioned before, this week's Parsha is Parshas Behar. So Behar is usually read as a double Parsha. And this year, since it's a leap year, we're going to read it separately. Parshas Behar, just to give a quick overview of the Parsha, starts off with the mitzvah of Shemitah, sabbatical year, continues with the mitzvah of Yovel, the Jubilee year, and the Parsha tells us about the redemption of the land, that after a certain amount of year, the land goes back to its original owners, and the Parsha talks about the idea of preventing poverty, the Jewish slave, and how we're supposed to treat people. Now, just to give a short thought on this idea of the Jubilee year. So every 7 years is Shemitah, that the land has to lay fallow, it cannot be worked. And there's a lot of different halachos, a lot of different laws that are tied into this mitzvah of Shemitah, the sabbatical year. Now, every 50th year was the Yovel year, Jubilee year, which was the halachas of Yovel are similar to Shemitah, meaning the land would have to stay fallow for another year. For the 49th year is always going to be a Shemitah year. And the 50th year, which would be Yovel, would be the Jubilee year, would also have to lay fallow. But there's another part of Yovel which is specific to Yovel. And I mean, there's a few different parts of it, but one that it's known for is the fact that if anybody had a slave, they would have to go free. That whenever the Jubilee year was, the slaves would go free and they would go back to their own lives. If we read the Parsha, it's very interesting. It says, V'avarta shofar truah b'chodesh ha'shvi'i ובאסר לחודש ביום הכיפורים תעבירו שפר מכל ארצכם, וקידשתם משנת חמישים שנה וקרסם דרור בארץ לכל יושביה, יובל היא תהיה לכם ושבתם איש אל אחוזותי ואיש אל משפחתי תשובו. You shall blow the shofar on the 10th day of the 7th month, on the Day of Atonement shall you sound the shofar throughout all your land. And you shall sanctify the 50th year and proclaim liberty throughout all the land to all its inhabitants. It shall be a jubilee year for you, and you shall return every man to his possession, and you shall return every man to his family. So, on Yom Kippur, the shofar would blow, and all the slaves would go free. Now, if you look in the Sefer Achinuch, Sefer Achinuch lists all the mitzvos that a Jew has. Mitzvah 331 is Mitzvah Tekiya Shofar B'Yom HaKippurim Shel Yovel. This special mitzvah to blow the shofar on Yom Kippur of a Yovel year. So I'm going to read the Chinuch and bring out a very powerful lesson. The Chinuch says as follows. The mitzvah is Litkoa b'shofar ba'asirei b'tishrei shu Yom HaKippurim, to blow the shofar on the 10th of Tishrei, which is Yom HaKippurim. As it says, Va'avarta shofar tshuva, right? That's what the verse says. B'Yom HaKippurim taviru shofar b'chol artzachem, you should blow the shofar on Yom Kippur. The cross from Jor, it should be liberty, right? V'yadua, it's known, Shemitzvah hatekiya b'yom hazeh, hi lefarsem chiris kol eved ivri. It's to make known that all the Jewish slaves are free. Sheyetze ben chorin b'lidam, that they're free totally. They don't have to pay anything. They're totally free. Ve'ein in yono ki'inyin t'kiya shofar b'Rosh Hashanah. It's not similar to the blowing of the shofar that was done on Rosh Hashanah. Sh'atkiya hi anu oisin l'kvoya machshaveseinu alinyin akedas Yitzchak v'nitzar b'nafshenu lasus gam banu kamo l'avas Hashem. And over there, the mitzvah of shofar is to make us think about akedas Yitzchak and to know that Hashem is the king, right? And he continues with that. But over here, the mitzvah of shofar is to tell the slaves, that really the owners, to let them go free. Now, what's the reason of the mitzvah? He gives a reason. So, Misharshi HaMitzvah, what's the reason behind it? L'fishi yadua, ki kol shofar ta'oru leiv b'nei adam, ki im l'shalom im l'mochama. We know that the shofar awakens the heart of a person, whether it's for peace or for war. V'inyin shluach ha'eved sh'avad, and this whole idea of sending away a slave that's worked for this master for many years, for the master, it was a very hard thing to do. To send away the person that was working for him all these years, it was, you know, right? How could he do that? It was not easy for them to do that. Al Kain, la'oiru leiv habriyos, al inyin ulechazik nafshom la'azhir ma'al mitzvah. In order, so he says, therefore, in order to awaken people and to strengthen them to do this mitzvah, the Torah says, blow the shofar. Why? Because biroisam ki davar hashavahu b'chol eretz v'sha'akol oisim came. So the slave owner should recognize and realize that everybody is sending their slaves free. It's not just him, right? So nitztavu hazeh, everyone's commanded. She'ein davar sheyachzik libos b'nei adam kemosh ma'isa harabim. There's nothing that helps a person more than knowing that other people are doing the same thing as well. That it's not just him who has this hard situation, that he has to send away his slave. It's everybody. Everyone has to do it. And the hope is that since everyone is doing it, the people who are lagging behind will also do it as well. Everyone will get swept away to do this mitzvah, and no one will feel like I'm the only one doing it. So it's sort of like this positive peer pressure, and people will feel easier about it if they know that everyone is going to send their slaves free. And there's a very powerful thought that I saw brought down from Rabbi Pliskin. And he says that when we suffer, you know, everybody suffers. Everyone has challenges in life. When we suffer, we shouldn't think that we're the only ones suffering. We're not the only ones in the world with problems. Now, I'm not trying to make light of anyone's situation, but any situation that you name it, there's someone else who also has that same situation. Maybe not exactly, but pretty much. And there's someone before you that had that problem, and there will be someone after you that has that problem. And when we have this realization that there are other people that are suffering, you know, obviously we don't want other people to suffer. That's not what we want. We don't want to be happy for other people suffering. But the point is that we know that there are other people that have challenges. There are other people that have even similar challenges that they have to get over in their life for whatever reason. That's a different conversation of why we have these challenges and these sufferings. That's a different point to talk about. But the point is that when we know that we're not the only ones, so then it makes it easier for us to push forward. You know, there's a whole idea of this Alcoholics Anonymous, right? It was people together to heal together, that they could get over their problem together. So we know in our minds that we're not the only ones with this problem. Even, I want to make it specific, whatever challenge that you have, right? Think in your mind, you're not the only one. And maybe sometimes to find support of similar people in similar situations could be very helpful. But the point is that number one is having that mindset to know we're not the only ones makes it a little bit easier for us. And we see that from this week's parsha. The fact that the Torah commands that the shofar must be blown to make it easier for these owners, the slave owners, to set their slaves free. We see this idea that when we realize and recognize that we're not the only ones, it makes it easier to go forward to do the right thing. So with that, I'm going to finish for today's podcast. I hope you enjoyed. If you have any questions, comments, or would like to reach out, feel free to send me an email at rabbishlomokon@gmail.com. Have a great day.